Good church family, we turn to Psalm 2 again, and this Saturday morning, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow on the Lord's Day at for our 10 a.m. service and our 6 p.m. service, virtual services, and it's not the church, it's not church at home, but at least we can hear God's word and sing and connect digitally. It's better than nothing, and so we're making the most of it, and do hope you can join us tomorrow, and that we'll be able to regather soon as the church and be the church assembling together soon as the Lord allows. We are looking at God's invincible king in Psalm 2, if you'll recall. Trust your Bibles open in front of you there. Four scenes displaying the ultimate victory of God's king so that you will embrace Christ before it's too late, and so that we will exalt him and proclaim him as we ought. First scene, the nation's rage. We'll look at that this morning. Then we'll see God laughs, the king speaks, and the wise listen. Those are the four scenes through Psalm 2 over the next few days. First scene, verses 1 to 3, the nations rage. Look there at verse 1. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The psalmist here, David or whoever it is astonished at this mutiny being plotted. He is indignant at such a senseless revolt that other nations would actually think that they could devise and scheme up a plan clever enough to overthrow God's man, God's king. Who do they think they are? One word best describes this kind of behavior here in verse 1. No matter how impressed the world is with its latest technologies and ideas for dethroning God, it is all a vain thing. Look there in the text. In other words, it's empty, it's futile, it's senseless, it's pointless. It's a bunch of hot air. Keep reading verse 2. The kings of the earth take counsel, take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Can't you just see them up in their fancy boardrooms and over in their war rooms, playing their war games, studying their maps, moving their pieces? Watch them staging their next advance, rubbing their hands together at the smell of victory. Oh, we're smarter than God. We're going to overthrow him. We're going to climb up to heaven's throne. This is going to be Tower of Babel all over again. But this time it's going to be a different outcome. You can hear them snarling and growling. Verse 3, keep going. Watch their dark plot there. Listen, verse 3. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. Enough of submission to God's king. Enough of being subject to a Jewish king and a foreign empire. It's Independence Day. Liberators to the rescue. The nations, they think they're going to be another Samson whom no bonds could hold. Isn't this so typical of the unsaved world and of our own rebel hearts? Here's the root of all our problems, beloved. We want freedom from God. Ever since Adam and Eve, we think we're wiser than God. We think we can rule ourselves better than God. And yet Scripture says true freedom is found in submission, not rebellion. To throw off God's will is to invite bondage and destruction. That's exactly what Satan wants us to believe, that we'll be better off once we're not under God's authority. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Truth is, Christ promises that his yoke is easy and his burden is light, Matthew 11. 1 John chapter 5, that his commands are not burdensome. As we saw in Psalm 119, I shall run in the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. This is true freedom, Lord. Notice, who is the narrow person actually in this world? Not someone who knows what they believe. It's someone who's willfully blind to God and his word and the true freedom found only in Christ. The broad person, according to Psalm 119, verse 96, is the one who runs in the way of God's commandments. That's real life. That's true freedom. That's lasting liberty. My friend, here's a great way to know whether you are saved or not this morning, this day. Do you love Jesus' yoke or do you despise it? Do you welcome God's rule over your life or do you chafe against it? Are you saying, like they said here in verse 3, let us tear their fetters apart. Let's cast away God's cords from us. I'll rule my own life. Thank you very much. Or are you like the believer in the psalmist elsewhere who says, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is in my heart. Notice back there in verse 2, one major problem at the root of all their rebellion, the fatal flaw in this Gentile coup against God's Messiah. If the nations were only raging against an earthly king, a mere human government, they might succeed. In fact, you wouldn't even blame them for overthrowing an evil dictator or tyrant. But alas, these nations have a more sinister plot. They are assaulting a much higher throne. Look there at the end of verse 2, against Yahweh is the original, against the Lord and against his anointed. Their problem is with God himself and God's man, the God-man, the Lord's Mashiach, anointed Messiah, Christ, as the New Testament calls him, God's anointed king, the appointed savior, the long-awaited leader and redeemer of Israel and the nations. This is the height of arrogance, thinking they can overthrow the creator himself and his own two IC, his executive and right-hand man, the Son of God. Remember the early church in the book of Acts when the first wave of persecution slammed up against the church. Where did they turn? They ran straight for Psalm 2 and these opening two verses. They clung to these words to understand the hostility they were facing there in Jerusalem. Let me remind you over in Acts chapter 4, or it's worth turning there quickly in your own Bible if you want to pause for a minute. Acts 4 from verse 23. When they, this is Peter and John, had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord. This is the early church. And they said, O Lord, it is you that made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And then notice, they apply Psalm 2 directly to their situation. Kind of like we've been learning in the book of Matthew on Sunday mornings. Viewing the present in light of the past. Viewing our world through a scriptural lens, and particularly as it's being fulfilled. Acts 4 continues, verse 27. They said, for truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. The kings that Psalm 2 talks about was Herod. The rulers of Psalm 2, Pontius Pilate. The Gentiles of Psalm 2, the Gentiles here. The peoples of Psalm 2, the peoples of Israel here. These believers knew that a Jewish psalm written some 1,000 years earlier was God's prophetic script being acted out before their very eyes. Other evil rulers had opposed God before. Ever heard of Nimrod, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, Antiochus Epiphanes, and others? But here was the height of human rebellion and folly. Herod and Pilate, the Jews and the Romans crucifying God's own son, Jesus. Close with this hymn as a prayer. Maker and sovereign Lord of heaven and earth and seas, thy providence confirms thy word and answers thy decrees. The things so long foretold by David are fulfilled when Jews and Gentiles join to slay Jesus, thine holy child. Why did the Gentiles rage and Jews with one accord bend all their counsels to destroy the anointed of the Lord? Rulers and kings agree to form a vain design. Against the Lord their powers unite, against his Christ they join. The Lord derides their rage and will support his throne. He that hath raised him from the dead hath owned him for his son. Amen.